Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, somatic practitioner, and embodiment educator. Your Pisces season horoscope is an excerpt from your 2024 year ahead reading. These readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. Purchase yours today from the link in our show notes. Registration is now open for Embodied Astrology's 2024 and 2025 programming. Our curriculum starts with the astrological new year and Aries season equinox. Join us for a life-changing journey of experiential astrology where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, craft creative containers and support your artistic practice through working with your own chart and current transits, learn how to apply astrology for conflict transformation and repair, and take part in exciting, inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change, and so much more. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, on to your horoscope. Pisces season for Libra continues a lot of the themes of Aquarius season. So for the first week and a half or so of Pisces season, from February 18th until March 1st, many of the themes that I spoke about in Aquarius season continue to resound. There is a strong emphasis right now on your creative power and potentiality. This is a very important period of dreaming and conceiving, and also creating and bringing new possibilities and experiences into your physical manifest reality, and especially into your relationships. This is definitely a period of time that requires courage. And your courage right now serves a liberating function and purpose. We need you to have courage in confronting the implications of power at all. Power in the world and power in your relationships, the power that those around you hold, and also the power that you hold. You have power. You might not have all the power in the world. You might not have as much power as you want. You might have more power than you want. You hold power. And it is really important that you understand what kind of power you have. It is important that you are meditating and questioning and building consciousness of your own power right now. And that includes your power to harm and to impact negatively. It includes your power to manipulate and distort. It includes your power to avoid and be complicit. It includes your power to create beauty in the world. It includes your power to actualize yourself by listening to your heart and following your dreams. And it includes the power that you have to be accountable in your relationships to what your relationships need accounting for. And this leads me to the next theme of accounting. So Pisces season is a season that is wanting some accountability across the board. Pisces rules your solar sixth house, and this is the place of functionality and efficiency. It is where we have to get practical about the logistics of things. And so budgeting and accounting for energy, investment, impact, etc., is definitely on the menu in Pisces season. We move into the season with a growing full moon. The moon is shining in fullness on February 24th in Pisces opposite sign Virgo. This polarity illuminates the opposition between Virgo and Pisces and between your solar 6th house and solar 12th house. Virgo and Pisces are the 6th and the 12th sign. And so in a chart wheel, this resonates very naturally, quite beautifully with the 6th and the 12th house. Now I'm reading for Libra. And so in the 6th house, we have Pisces, which is the 12th sign. And that is a little bit of a predicament because the 6th house wants things to be orderly and tidy and to make sense. And Pisces is a sign that is not orderly, tidy, and does not make sense. It is expansive, it is vast, it is slippery, it is uncontainable, it is liminal and energetic. In your 12th house, we have a place that wants to undo and fall apart and dream and nap and experience transcendent states of unity, consciousness, and separation or untethering from the status quo. And here we have the 6th sign of Virgo, and Virgo wants to be practical, and it is detail-oriented, and it appreciates the tangible, and it definitely wants to get things done. This arrangement in your chart is also quite activated at this full moon by the presence of the planet Saturn. The full moon is opposing Saturn, so the sun is conjunct with Saturn at the full moon. Saturn has been in this part of your chart since last March and will be here throughout 2024 and 2025. And in 25, Saturn starts to inch its way into Aries, your opposite sign, and it will fully enter Aries in 2026, along with the outer planet Neptune. And Neptune has also been in Pisces for a while. It entered this sign in 2011 and has been transiting here since then. And in 2025 and 26, Saturn and Neptune are both starting to move into Aries and into your solar 7th house. So what does all of that mean? What do those words mean? How I'm going to interpret them is that this place of your 6th house has to do with functionality and efficiency. This is where you get jobs done. This is where you attend to the practical and the mundane aspects of your earthly life. That includes your body and it includes all states of well-being or dis-ease. This also is a place that has a lot to do with your responsibilities, and that includes your obligations and your duties that you are not paid for, and it also includes any jobs that you have and the actual labor that you perform for more conceptual ideas like your vocation or your career. You might be an astrophysicist, and that means a particular kind of image in the world, but what does an astrophysicist do every single day? Like, you sit at your desk, you look at graphs, you look at your telescope, you engage with scientific experiments of molecular compounds. And then that's the labor. That's the actual work of something. This place of labor and functionality and well-being is also a place where you have to contend with earthly reality. And earthly reality is always frustrating. It's always about limitations. The reality of living on Earth is aging. It's illness, it's injury, it's time, and it's impermanence. And so when we're dealing with the 6th house, we're also dealing with processes of working through challenge, working through struggle, being in service to something that is larger than yourself, being caught up in things that are larger than yourself. And that means that you have to deal with the conditions. You have responsibilities, you have labor, you have duty, and a lot of them you don't choose. You just have got to do them. And so then this is also a place in your chart that brings in themes of service and subjectivity, as well as themes of failure and working through challenge. This is a very humbling place in the chart. And the presence of Neptune here for the last, since 2011, what does that mean? 13, 14 years, depending on when you're listening. The presence of Neptune in this place in your chart has been bringing qualities of more subtle attunement and energetic and spiritual awareness into this realm. And what happens when things fall apart, when your body is not strong or able? What happens? You have got to sense into what is beyond the physical. You have to feel into the potentials of the unknown. In the last 14, 15 years, Neptune moving through your sixth house has required that you reimagine the ways that you get to live your everyday. And for a lot of you, this has been a very creative experience, I think. And I think that many of you have been realizing in your day-to-day, in your responsibilities, in your duties, in your jobs, that you can infuse these activities and obligations with the meaning that you make, right? Make the meaning that's meaningful for you. And so when we practice gratitude, when we meditate and attune with the present moment, when we orient ourselves to the sublime and the ineffable and the numinous, then any experience is potentially elevating and blissful. And any experience is the realm of creativity. And so that includes failure, and that includes the jobs that we don't want, and that includes illness and disease. In 2024, you are being tasked with surrendering in a lot of ways and sensitizing yourself. You are being asked to continue this work of humility and humbling, letting go in a lot of ways of control. And the full moon on February 24th is activating consciousness in your being of where you do or do not have control. This is a full moon that wants you to practice, because practice is something that you can control. It wants you to practice devotion. And devotion would be to the subtle, to the numinous, to the energetic, to the spiritual. Because this full moon is emerging at a time when power is really present in your chart, and relationships are an area of growth and inquiry, and we really need you to be courageous, and we really need you to be honest, then this is a full moon that is also really asking you to feel into your reasons why. Why do you invest time, energy, attention, and labor where and when and with whom that you do? Any adjustments that you make, no matter how small they are, if you commit to them over time, will change your course. They'll significantly impact how something can grow. This is a full moon that wants you to tune in with subtle adjustments that you might want or need to make for future growth that you are imagining, dreaming, worlding, trying to pass on to others, participate in. This is a full moon that is asking you to be really attentive to the subtle qualities of your actions, intentions, and investments. When you give your presence and energy to something, what is the impact of your presence and energy? That's very different than what is the impact of your actions. You've heard people say by this point that intent doesn't equate with impact. Sometimes we can have one intention and it doesn't resonate in our actions. It has a very different impact. And oftentimes, the disconnect between intention and impact has to do with a failure to be energetically attuned or sensitive to the situation. There might be a lack of knowledge and a general ignorance. There might be a practiced avoidance. There might be all the best intentions in the world, but maybe we're moving too fast and we didn't actually tune in to see if this was a good moment. Slow down. Pay attention. Why are you doing what you're doing? What are the hoped for outcomes? Your power is palpable. You have power. You have power in relationship. You have power in your own life. You have power to affect your future. Make decisions right now that are made from places which are conscious and curious about your own power, and made from places that respect the greater environment that these choices are resonating within. Does the work of embodied astrology speak to you? Did you know that you can become a member? The EA monthly membership provides unlimited access to my weekly somatic space classes, where we work through gentle healing movement and meditation practices, aligning our minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits with the highest potentials of current astral energy. Memberships also include tea time gatherings once a month, where we debrief current astro together, share our lived experiences, and support one another through the seasons. Our basic membership also includes access to our private virtual community, peer-led study groups and affinity spaces, and a video and audio library with guided meditations and gentle movement practices. Learn more at embodiedastrology.com/join. I'm also thrilled to announce that our 2024 and 2025 workshop and event programming at Embodied Astrology is now open for registration. Our new program begins with the vernal equinox and astrological new year. This year, we're interested in mobilizing our platform and community towards more active engagement with the work of world making. We're asking questions about revolution and transformation. We're using astrology to imagine, locate, and remember forms of power rooted in care and connection. We're holding space for what is and what can be, with grief-tending circles, queer time expansion experiments, planetary devotional practices, conflict mapping with constellation work, and embodied astral support. We hope you'll join us for some or all of our offerings. On February 28th, we have a triple conjunction of Mercury, Saturn, and the Sun. In Capricorn season, I talked about Mercury's inferior conjunction or Kazemi with the Sun, and now we have the partner of that aspect moment, Mercury's superior conjunction with the Sun. Mercury is now on the far side of the Sun, away from Earth. And in this moment of connection between Mercury, a symbol of thought and cognition and perception, and Saturn, a symbol of commitment and determination and fortitude, also a symbol that definitely resonates with limitation and challenge, and the Sun, a symbol of vitality, energy, and consciousness, all happening in your sixth house. And this is the place of the practicalities of your corporeal bodily existence, functionality, your day-to-day life, the mundane aspects of it. You get up, you eat breakfast, you do the things, you go to work, what do you do every single day? Everything that you do has an impact. Your habits and your patterns right now are ready for some updates, clarifications, and commitments, because over time, your patterns and your habits will accumulate and build residue, and that residue will be what you build in your life. You have power. You have power to affect your relationships, and you have power to affect the future, and you have power to affect your own health and state of well-being, and you have power to contribute to the world. Your power is not omnipotent, and it is not complete. Your power cannot control other people or the world, but you do have power. And what you invest in grows, and that is definitely including investments of your time and energy and intention and attention. And if you want to have the impact that you are imagining, then you want to really tune in with the subtle pieces, the details of how you are using your power right now. And there are other people involved, I think, for a lot of you. And so there are some deep questions that need to happen, that need to be addressed, as I talked about in Aquarius season, so that you can get into the blockages or miscommunications or unknowns or places of tenderness and vulnerability where trust can expand, so that you can get into the stuff that needs to be gotten into in order for you to move in whatever direction you're moving next. Now, as we head into March, there is a lot of back and forth between your sixth house and your eighth house, between Pisces and Taurus, and these places all resonate with what I was just offering. I also want to say that these places really resonate with the experiences of mortality. The human condition is not a permanent condition. Everything is changing all the time. As I talked about in your 2024 overview reading, this is a year that has you on the precipice between the past and the future. And collectively, this is a year when we, in the human we, are being tasked with learning how to doula, how to assist and be friends to ourselves in both dying and birthing old worlds and new worlds. As we move into March, and as we move towards the Pisces new moon on March 10th, and then the Sun's conjunction with Neptune on March 17th, there is a lot of emphasis in your chart on states of transition. What is moving out and what is coming in? How do lineages evolve over time? Legacies, narrative arcs, storylines. How do they evolve over time? How do we continue to contribute the ingredients for what we are trying to create, even as the recipe is changing? This is a quality of time in your chart that feels both concrete and liminal. It feels like you need a lot of self-care during Pisces season. And this self-care is energetic on a major level. It's about you really doing the work of radical self-responsibility, radical accountability, as I talked about in your year ahead overview. This can definitely include all kinds of practices. But I really want to encourage you to use energy cleansing practices. This could look like deep and rhythmic breathing. And as you inhale, you're imagining breathing in life, creative substance. And as you breathe out, you're imagining exhaling and releasing whatever energetically does not serve life. Energy clearing practices can look like shaking your body, dancing, vocalizing, creating art, getting things to move and express and kind of have a catharsis of some kind. Energy clearing practices can definitely be somatic, so attending to your somatic state. We do a lot of this in the weekly class that I teach, Somatic Space, every Monday from 8 to 9:30 a.m. Pacific on Zoom. We meet for about an hour and a half, and we do a lot of energy clearing practices as well as somatic support practices. And these kinds of practices would be, I think, really helpful for you, for probably most people in general, but definitely throughout Pisces season, because you really need to be attending to your own energy right now. And not everybody is able to sleep when they need rest or drink water when they are thirsty. If you are able to resource yourself when and how you need, then you have no excuse not to right now. If you are in the position where you can rest when you need rest and drink water when you need water and eat a meal when you need a meal, that is your responsibility. Take care of your own needs right now so that you can be resourced for the needs that are around you. Because there are needs that are around you that need you to be attending to them. Needs of your life, needs of your environment, needs of other people. If you are not in a position where you can always give yourself everything that you need, then this is about giving yourself what you can. And in the moments where a need is present, acknowledging that it is present. So a lot of us, when we're experiencing scarcity, we have to kind of develop this keep on going attitude. And a lot of times that can involve us telling ourselves that our needs are not present and they are not important. And over time, that's extremely harmful to our own systems. And when we discount or avoid acknowledging our own needs to ourselves, it means that we can't receive, you know, from others if they maybe try and give to us. And it also it builds a state in the nervous system that is quite painful in a lot of ways. Now, it is painful to need and to want and to not be able to have what is needed and wanted, but I think that it is really important that needs and wants are conscious right now. And so part of your self-care practice, especially over the course of Pisces season, is acknowledging and being honest with yourself about your needs and your wants. And if you cannot attend to them, if you cannot get what you need or want in a moment, put your hand on your heart or some other part of your body that might feel this need or want, and just say to yourself, affirm to yourself what it is that you're wanting and needing, and tell yourself that it is okay that you want and need that, and express condolences to yourself that for whatever reason you can't have what you want and need right now. And maybe you need to feel angry about it. Maybe there's grief that's there. That's all okay. But we need you to affirm that you have these needs and these wants. Then there is the rich terrain of what is happening in the inner spaces of your own psychology and your relationships. And this is really such a potent space throughout 2024 and definitely in Pisces season. Needs and wants really drive us in our relationships with one another. And when they are operating unconsciously, we can get into some really funky and fucked up dynamics. And so I would also say that this is a period of time in which needs and wants should be talked about and brought to the table in any relationships where there's something that's at stake right now. Any places where there's vulnerability, where there's trust that's trying to get built, if transitions are happening, if people are going through changes right now, endings, beginnings, inheritances, debts, etc. We want to get as much information as we can on the table so that we can take care of what's here and so that we can also address and process and be with needs and wants that maybe just cannot be met. And there's just going to be feelings that are there, and we just need to be with the feelings. So Libra in Pisces season, radical self-responsibility and radical accountability is your homework. Really tuning in energetically and sensitively to what is happening for you in your own body, in your own expression, in your own experience, and getting curious and taking the risks to invoke and invite greater consciousness and awareness of what is happening in intimate, intricate, interpersonal spaces in the psychology of relationships that are here, so that we can move into the next steps with greater consciousness and without weird, unexpressed stuff that we haven't given time or space to, but that's definitely going to be a part of the process if it's not acknowledged. If what you heard in this season's horoscope resonates, you'll definitely want to check out your year ahead. These annual readings are epic offerings and the results of over 2 months of research and preparation with this year's astrology. They're ready for download now, and they include an hour-long intuitive divination and channeled reading for your sign, along with an additional overview exploring key dates and timing for 2024's astrology, with suggestions for working with this year's main themes, opportunities, and challenges through embodied energetic awareness practices. Get yours today through the sliding scale purchase link in our show notes, or visit the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Potowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.